Hey, Moment Maker, let's get real in real time.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to the Marketing Cloudcast, a podcast by Salesforce where we hear from digital marketers, authors, thought leaders, industry experts, and really anyone who wants to sit down and talk marketing with us. I'm Megan Collins, now Megan Hostetler. And normally I have with me my co-host, Tina Razul. But she is out this week on a well-deserved yoga retreat, a little relaxation, and she'll be back at it next week. But fortunate for you guys, I have one of my dear pals, Megan Reynolds. She is our newest member of the Cloudcast squad. And in her day job, she creates these amazing events here at Salesforce that we all know and love. So Megan, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Megan. I am a longtime listener and a first time hoster.
I know you are. We're excited to have you on. She's been in the behind the scenes. And the whole Megan thing may get confusing.
It's going to be a little confusing.
I'm going to call you Reynolds. And Reynolds, what do we have up for today?
All right. Today, we're looking at marketing leaders, the people in charge of setting a team up for success in order to create these marketing moments that we're talking about. These experiences that make you want to become a loyal customer, or the moment where you feel like a brand actually knows who I am and what I care about.
Amen, sister.
So for me personally, I often look to my marketing leadership, especially lately, for guidance, for giving us the right tools and building strong teams to shift and get the job done. And I often look to them for inspiration. We're in this time where we need to do the best work of our lives to reach our customers. No pressure, right?
A little bit of pressure there. So that's why we have this podcast, though. So hang tight, guys. We brought in two marketing experts who know a thing or two when it comes to building a team that's equipped for the future. We'll cover two topics, the first being who do we need to hire and what skills we need to acquire in order to build this team. And through our research, we found a couple of key characteristics that every marketer needs. And to tell us more, we brought on Jay Baer, founder of Convince and Convert. Another question that we wanted to get a little bit more answers on was all around the soft skills. So what should a marketer keep top of mind as they're creating content, creating these campaigns, and ultimately these moments that Reynolds just mentioned? What we discovered, though, is it's all about being able to relate to your audience on a more personal level. And so we're going to hear some examples from Sergio Alcacer. He's the founder of a cultural marketing agency called Rest of the World. He's known for his work on bringing in multicultural aspects into the day-to-day life of a marketer. So Reynolds, who do we have up first?
So to kick things off, our first guest on the show today is Jay Baer. As mentioned, Jay is the founder of Convince and Convert, a Hall of Fame speaker, and a best-selling author. That's pretty impressive.
I know, right? Go Jay.
He's also a podcaster himself, just like me.
This is true. Making your debut.
He's the host of Social Pros Podcast, which is also sponsored by Salesforce. Wink, wink.
Wink,
go
wink.
Take a listen.
Uh-huh.
Social Pros shines a spotlight on social media practitioners, people doing the real work for real companies. And we brought on Jay because, as a consultant, he's worked with so many brands on digital transformation and has a good sense for the skills needed to build a team of the future and what marketing leaders really need to keep in mind to be successful.
All right. Well, I'm sure excited. Are you excited, Reynolds?
I am so excited to hear from Jay.
All right. Well, let's bring him on. Without further ado, here's Jay Baer.
The question in this series is really interesting, Megan, because of course, the tools and the technology continue to get better and better and better, and that's amazing. But ultimately, it's about the wizard, not about the wand. And this idea that if you just buy the right technology, you're going to be a good marketer, or all of your marketing communication problems will be solved based on a software license is not true. Because somebody has to tell the artificial intelligent robots what to do. And that is more important than ever. I've seen so many people buy software and then they don't get full value out of it because they don't have thinkers on their team. They just have button pressers. Ultimately, people say, oh, you won't need strategy now because the software will do it all for you. No, the exact opposite is the case, my friends. It will be who understands how to make the software do something that nobody else has thought of. So the two things I think that you really need on your team is you really have to have people on your team that are self-organizing. We're trying to accomplish all these marketing objectives with small, lean teams. And it's hard to do that when you're constantly having to check in with people on how you doing and what's going on and how you doing. And if you have to spend a lot of staff time to follow up and prod and cajole and manage, you are leaking efficiencies. So people who can figure it out without having to have their hand metaphorically held, because you can't hold hands anymore, that's really important. And look, it's no secret that some of the most effective marketing teams in the world today, especially as we transition into fully effectuated AI, are not even the most strategic, but they're the best at managing projects, right? They can turn work faster and more efficiently and more nimbly, because the faster you can turn it, the more work you can do.
And that's interesting that you've been remote from the start. And that makes sense because you're probably traveling and going to all of these different companies. So any tips for everyone who's now remote to have those systems in place?
It definitely requires a couple of things. One, you really do have to screen for it. Like when you're bringing people onto the team, there are certain individuals and personality types that really thrive in that kind of setting, remote work, where you don't have somebody to talk to or manage you side by side. And other people just don't like it and can't handle it. So you have to kind of look for it in the hiring process.
What do you look for? Those key things?
Yeah, I think part of it is experiential, right? So one of the things that we always ask about when we bring people on the team is, it's a little different now in pandemic, but pre-pandemic, is tell me about a time when you worked in isolation and how did that feel? And what we try to do is bridge that gap as much as possible. For example, we don't use Slack, but a similar type of technology we called Sococo, where everybody gets their own virtual office. So you kind of have a two-dimensional representation of an office and you're actually in your office and people can come knock on your door and visit your office and do a video call and stuff. It's a really cool sort of schema, and it sort of bridges that gap from remote to physical. There's no secret to remote work. It's a bunch of little things. Like I do a lot of videos for the team. We try to not have a lot of staff calls. And so I do a lot of videos like, okay, here's what's going on. Here's what we're thinking, which is just so much more powerful and nuanced than just sending emails.
And is there like a chance for them to ask questions, or is that where like they would come to your office, knock on the virtual door?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yep.
And then when you're working with all of these different companies and you're helping them with their digital technology, mm-hmm. what kind of skills do you find out of the best companies that you've worked with as far as a leadership perspective?
A couple of things. One, because the role of marketing is changing so quickly and the things that people have to execute have changed so much in just a short period of time, the leaders who are not beholden to the org chart are really important. People are not like, well, this is the job we have and that person reports to this person who reports to this person, who are willing to just take all those chess pieces and wipe them off the board and say, well, now we need 3 video editors and we never needed that before, but we do now. And now we need an audio editor. And now we need, you know, somebody who can just do TikTok or whatever, right?
And that goes back to the organization too. Like if you're able to understand where the gaps are, it can be more efficient to maybe give you more time to be creative, hopefully.
Absolutely.
A lot of it comes to choosing the right partner. And by partner, I mean, you know, what agency you work with or consulting firm or technology partner, like a implementation partner, all of the people that make you successful. But how do you kind of look at the culture, look at the right tech? Like what should people be considering to picking the right partner?
I think it's twofold. One is being really clear to yourself before you ever start talking to partners. What exactly do we want them to do and why? Mm-hmm. The more specific you can be about that, the better off you will be and the higher chance you will have of finding the right partner. That's the first thing. And the second thing is you're better off doing a little trial project. Let's just do a thing. Let's do a small thing for 30 or 60 days and let's just feel how it is to work together, especially when everybody's operating remotely. Mm-hmm. I don't even think it's about expertise in many cases. It's about work and communication style. And I think you want to try that on for size before you jump into a long-term relationship with any partner.
Yeah. And that's interesting. You're always going back to that communication, the organizing and making sure your structure is in place before you do anything else. And I think that hits home. My last and final question for you, Jay. We have this segment called Getting Real in Real Time.
Getting Real.
In Real Time.
In Real Time.
Hey, Moment Maker, let's get real in real time.
In this segment, we like to interrupt the podcast and get real in real time. So my question for Jay was, what are the common challenges that he notices as marketers are starting to build a team of the future? You know, what do we need to watch out for? So back to Jay.
One of the challenges that people have right now is, should we bring this skill set on the team or should we outsource it?
Yeah, exactly. And that's kind of like the partner too. Right? It's like, do we do this in-house or do we bring in someone else? Yeah.
The matrix that I think is important is to say, all right, let's look at this from X versus Y. One is frequency. How often does this thing need to be done?
Mm-hmm.
And the other is competency. How amazing does this need to be done? And if it's like, look, we got to do this often and it's got to be amazing, then probably you should bring somebody on the team. If it's awesome and infrequent, right, you should probably outsource it.
I like that.
Right.
Yeah.
And so you can actually create like a grid and say, all right, how often and how awesome? And that kind of, that's what I use to figure out, all right, should we try and own that resource, quote unquote, or freelance that resource? And it's been really helpful to me.
Always a pleasure talking with Jay, a fellow Hoosier. Woot, woot.
Woot, go Hoosiers.
Go Hoosiers. And speaking of Hoosiers, they have a recent episode on his podcast, Social Pros, featuring Tatiana Hollifield, VP and Head of Digital Strategy at Pacers Sports and Entertainment, where she talks about how she leverages social, coordinates teams, and how they have diversified their organization.
Of course, diversifying your organization is top of mind as we head into the future of marketing. And with that, we had a few questions. How do we do that? How can we include a multicultural aspect to each and every campaign, and in turn, these moments that we create as marketers? And also, why is it so important?
Great questions, Megan. So to help us out, we brought in Sergio Alcaciere. As mentioned, he is the founder of a cultural marketing agency called Rest of the World, a company that highly specializes in strategy and creative and communication when it comes to multicultural marketing. Sergio began his career in the advertising world before deciding to start his own agency in 1999, where he helps brands create these moments that really resonate across every culture, background, race, you name it. And as you'll hear in this interview, these moments are going to matter differently for everyone. So I started out asking, how can marketing leaders start to embed the multicultural mindset into their teams?
By looking at the moment in America today in which the majority of the companies are now being conscious about, you know, how to be more diverse, more inclusive, recruit people from different voices. And this is not only diversity from the point of view of race, it's also diversity from a point of view of gender, of sexual orientation, of country of origin, etc. So it's really creating a diverse team. So when I look at that, I see a number of things. First, I think it's important that the effort is not just a response to the current social climate. So authenticity from that point of view in the intentions of why do we want a diverse team is important. I think second is that America is growing to become a multicultural country. I think that if you approach it from that point of view, what you need to start doing is to start recruiting people in a different way that you were recruiting before. Watch how do you post your jobs. Use a different source for recruitment. What are the policies that you're making inside of the company to celebrate diversity? It's not just about bringing people of color or different backgrounds. It's about giving them a place at the table, and it's about listening to them. If not, it just becomes a quota. So for me, recruiting a team starts with what is the objective that you want to achieve. Hopefully understand that the business, the future of the country and the future of the business is multicultural. And then that you don't try to use the same way, the way that you used to recruit the normal talent, the common things that you were doing 2 years ago, need to evolve and need to change.
Yeah, I love that. You had a good point of it's changing the mindset of the company as a whole, not just the marketing team, not just one individual team, and you're just focused on celebrating diversity. No, everyone needs to be doing that. I think that's a key takeaway there. I also want to talk about how we can create deliberate, authentic social impact campaigns. You know, we want to be reaching all these different ethnicities, backgrounds, everything that you just mentioned. But do we need to be changing our content for that way? Or how can we be relevant to meet each of these different multicultural communities?
I think that one of the things that need to change, I believe, is every group seems to have their month. February is Black History Month. September is Hispanic Heritage Month. June is Pride, etc., etc. And there's already very ingrained in large corporations the idea that I don't want to be controversial here, but the reality is the idea that I'm only going to think about Hispanics in September, right? Mm-hmm. You need to understand the importance of multicultural marketing or diverse initiatives, or however you want to call it, as a year-round effort and not as a calendar celebration. And that is going to be something that is not going to take only 1 year. The reality is that today in America, when you've put together Hispanic, African American, Asian American, etc., just those communities of identity, is 39% of the country is multicultural now, or identify themselves as people of color in the census. 39% of the country, but most importantly, they are concentrated in the key states of the nation. And if you look at the numbers, they are also younger. It's a way younger population. So when you start slicing the numbers, the reality is that today states like California and states like Texas are majority minority states. So it doesn't make sense that if more than 50% of your 18 to 24 population in Los Angeles, California is Hispanic, and you wait until September for Hispanic Heritage Month. The reality is that that becomes your general market for certain products. What you need to do is you need to identify where your source of business comes from, identify truly who is the consumer that drives that growth, and then, quote unquote, celebrate it every single day of the year.
I like what you just said about the calendar. And, you know, it's more than just a month on a calendar that you should be celebrating. You know, you should be celebrating all year round. So just from the amount of work that you've done over the past, 20 years or so with working in these efforts, have you seen any brands that are doing it right?
Of course. Yes.
Yeah.
And Hauser Busch is a company that have been investing in the Hispanic market, not only marketing, but also corporate and social responsibility, education, etc., since the 1970s, 80s. McDonald's, it's a brand that, again, not only selling burgers, but genuinely participating in trying to improve, especially in the area of education, supporting scholarships and things like that for the Hispanic and African American community. So those are deep pockets and brands that for many, Procter & Gamble, AT&T, brands that for many years have been investing in the market, not only to sell goods and services, but also to support the community. So that's one wave of quote-unquote pioneer corporate American companies that have been investing and believing in this community for a long time. But then I think that there's also a very interesting wave of companies that are awakening recently and especially impacted by current social events, but that are doing a good job. Adidas with Reebok, which is committed to filling 30% of new positions with either Latin or Black workers. PayPal supporting with millions of dollars Black-owned minority businesses. So there are a lot of companies that are starting to awaken and doing very valuable things. Again, it's going to be a long journey to get to a point in which everybody feels that there's the right representation in the media, that there's the right representation inside of companies. It's going to take a while, but I believe that we are going in the right path.
And I think it's because of people like you and because of this drawing in this awareness that this is happening. And as you mentioned, you know, some brands have been doing this since day one and others have, you know, more recently woken up to it. So do you have any examples of any lessons learned or tips that you would share to our audience today?
This is new for everybody. So in terms of advice and tips, for example, at this moment, I'm working on areas that have to do with health. As you know, COVID affected particularly communities of color, Hispanic and African American in the United States. So you see, for example, all the ads and all the efforts from the CDC to talk about how to prevent, etc. That was not done in Spanish.
Now, this was particularly interesting to me. So when we say marketing moments, it's not just about delivering a message or an advertisement on the right channel to the right audience. It's really about understanding that marketers also need to be mindful of these moments that are affecting different cultures differently. So, for example, how he mentioned the CDC advertisements around COVID-19 and the different precautions that we need to be considering. That wasn't sensitive for those who speak Spanish, and therefore not creating a relevant moment for such a huge population that we have here in the United States, who may even be more prone to catching it. So lots and lots to keep in mind when we talk about a marketing moment. So with that, my last question ties back to what we talked about earlier with Jay around strategy and skills. What do marketing leaders need to think about as they start to build their team of the future?
In terms of a skill set, I think that the skill set of having in companies representation at the decision table of diverse voices is very important. It's not only about hiring people of color, it's about empowering diverse voices to also make decisions. And I think that that is what's going to really signal change.
Thank you to Jay and Sergio for joining us on today's episode to help us understand what marketing leaders need to consider when building a team of the future. So join us next week as we wrap up this Moment Maker series. Can you believe it's almost over?
I am so sad.
I know, but that's okay. We have one more episode and you're going to hear more about the individual contributor point of view. So what can they do to strengthen the team and become moment makers? So Megan Reynolds, what do people need to know about the podcast?
So if you like what you hear, please let us know at cloudcast@salesforce.com. We would love to hear from you. And one of us actually will be the ones actually getting your email.
The Megans.
It really helps us to create more moments that resonate with you. Rate and review us and make sure you subscribe to tune in the moment a new episode is released. And if you want to learn more, check us out at marketingcloudcast.com.
So Megan, this was your first podcast. What do you think? You going to come back?
I would love the chance to come back and create another moment with you, Megan.
I love these moments. Well, thank you everyone for listening. Thanks to our guests for coming on the show. Thanks to Think Ahead Studios for editing this podcast. Music was by audible.com, and the jingle that you heard was from Press Max. And have a great day, everyone, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye.
Bye.